From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Ann Davis. This is State of Nevada. Beauty, fitness, and everlasting vitality, these are all goals of the Revolution Against Aging and Death Festival. It was held in mid-July this year at the Red Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Event organizers welcomed attendees openly searching for the Fountain of Youth, offering them bone scans, light therapy, and even blood detoxification procedures. The gathering took an unfortunate turn when two women, one from California and the other from Nevada, experienced life-threatening medical emergencies. Both women had received peptide injections, which are purported to boost muscle growth, aid fat loss, speed up post-exercise recovery, and improve skin appearance. They were rushed from the festival to the ER and are currently recovering, but the ordeal caught the attention of local medical authorities, law enforcement, and the press. That last category includes Anjanette Damon, a government accountability reporter for ProPublica's Southwest office. She wrote an investigative piece about the situation in late July, and she is here to break down her reporting. Anjanette, welcome to State of Nevada.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I am going to get to the doctor responsible for all of this in a moment, but first, I want to ask what actually happened to these two women who went to the hospital. What kinds of symptoms did they experience that necessitated a trip to the ER?
They both received peptide injections at the same booth, I believe within a couple hours of each other. And shortly after, one woman complained of having blurred vision. She thought she just wasn't feeling well. She went to get a cheeseburger. Another woman, same kind of thing, just wasn't feeling well, went upstairs to lay down. And within a couple of minutes, they started experiencing some pretty severe reactions. One woman couldn't swallow, felt like her tongue was swelling up, and she couldn't breathe. The other woman had lost like all control of the muscles in her neck. She reported having to hold her head up by the back of her hair. She called for help from that hotel room and pretty much had to roll out of the bed and crawl across the floor to open the door for the nurse, who immediately called 911. Both women were intubated and required a ventilator to help them breathe, and spent several days in the hospital. They're apparently still recovering from the ordeal.
Well, that sounds horrifying. Do we know what actually caused them to experience these reactions? Was this just an allergy that they had or something much more serious?
I think that's still under investigation, what exactly caused the reaction, whether they were allergic to something within the injections. Both women reported not being allergic to specific components that were in the injections. Both the Southern Nevada Public Health Authority and the Nevada Board of Pharmacy, as well as some other licensing boards, are investigating this. And they're looking at it to see if there was a problem with the medication itself, whether something in the injection became contaminated, whether they were injected with what they thought they were being injected with, or if they, just had a really severe allergic reaction.
Okay, so it sounds like we still don't really know what was actually in these injections. That's going to be determined as the investigation progresses.
Yeah, I think all of that's being investigated. I think the women know what they thought they were being injected with. Peptides are kind of an emerging area in health and longevity and anti-aging. And there, there are dozens of different peptide medications. And both women received different injections. They were injected with different types of peptides. So all of that's being investigated.
Okay. Now, Metro is saying that as many as seven people could have actually been hospitalized after receiving treatments at the festival. Do we know anything more about that? Were these also all peptide recipients?
Yeah, they're still trying to track down whether or not more than just the two women were hospitalized. There were initial reports that as many as seven people sought medical treatment after the conference, but those people haven't been identified or located. The health district is apparently preparing a survey of festival participants to see if they can locate anybody else. The police called around to other emergency rooms and weren't able to locate other individuals as well. So at this point, there's just the two confirmed women who had had the reactions.
Now, is this something that could get the RAD Festival, as it's known, is this something that could get this shut down or prevented from coming back to Nevada next year?
Well, it's interesting because Nevada doesn't seem to have any specific laws or regulations that govern a festival like RAD. There are the traditional licensing requirements. So, you know, the RAD Festival, it was like a conference where a lot of experts in the anti-aging and longevity space gave talks. Some of them were more interesting than others. They just kind of spanned the gamut of scientific research to sometimes more political leaning, anti-regulation type of stuff. But at the conference was also what they called the clinic, where people could go and receive all these various types of treatments, including peptide injections, as you mentioned in the opening, light therapy or bone scans. One of the more invasive things to my mind that was offered there was this blood detoxification system, pretty much like dialysis, where the blood is drained through from your body and passes through some sort of filtering mechanism and re-injected into your body. So now to provide therapies like that, doctors need to be licensed, have a medical license in Nevada. The pharmacy board licenses pharmacists who either possess or dispense medication or compounded medication. There's a difference between those two things. So the people providing the therapies need to be licensed, but whether or not Nevada doesn't seem to have any overarching regulation or law that really governs such a festival that where such therapies are available outside of a traditional medical office. It's something the state has attacked in the past as, you know, alternative therapies become more popular. Back in, I believe, 2017 or so, the legislature required Botox to be injected only in a medical facility or a medical spa, certain facilities that have necessary equipment for responding to an allergic reaction or adverse medical event, because people were having these Botox parties and getting injected in all sorts of different locations. So it may be something that regulators take a look at later.
Yeah, especially now. I actually do want to kind of home in on those licensing issues at play here. Your reporting said that the physician responsible for the injections, a Dr. Kent Holtorf, failed to get a special event license from the Nevada Board of Medical Examiners, and then the license that you mentioned from the Nevada Board of Pharmacy, he also failed to receive that. He was required to obtain both of those to administer the treatments he was offering at the conference, at the clinic, like you mentioned. Is this something that he maybe could face potential criminal charges for later on down the line?
I believe that the licensing boards are investigating this. Now, I spoke with Dr. Holtorf about what happened, and he said that, you know, he personally did not administer any of the therapies. It was a booth, you know, his practice's booth, but that he contracted with a Nevada licensed nurse practitioner to administer the injections. He also contracted with another doctor who doesn't appear to have the necessary licensing either. So I think that, yeah, the pharmacy board and potentially the medical board are going to be looking at, you know, be part of their investigation, whether the therapies and treatments offered at this booth and what Dr. Holtorf's personal involvement was in those will be part of that investigation. Yeah.
So your story for ProPublica had a really interesting and almost sort of surreal bit in it about Holdorf's defense, where he told you that he plugged a bunch of information about peptide injections into an AI app, and then it proclaimed his innocence. Tell me a little bit about that.
He basically said that he was, you know, he's been providing these types of treatments for many years, decades even. He's never seen a reaction like this. He said nothing made sense. And so he decided he would go ahead and ask AI about what happened. And he said he received a 57 or so page report that's concluded with, I believe, a 99% certainty or something like that, that it was not the peptides themselves that caused the illness. Now, the doctor stopped short of telling me what AI said was responsible in this case, But he seemed pretty certain based on his use of AI that it wasn't the peptides themselves.
People like RFK Jr., the current Health and Human Services Secretary, he's now an influential voice in this area, criticizing the FDA for its regulation of peptide therapies and claiming that these sorts of alternative treatments really are the next generation of health and medicine. How do you think that sort of thing changes people's willingness to go through these more untested, sort of risky, like you mentioned, procedures like this if a major governmental figure is endorsing them?
I have family members who never once thought twice about an artificial food dye, who are no longer eating M&Ms because they're reading more about this. So it's an interesting phenomenon. And when you have the FDA considering regulations, RFK has said that he is going to quote unquote stop the FDA's war on alternative therapies. He hasn't been very specific in exactly what that will mean. I think we will see changes in the future as to how these components are regulated.
Ann Jeanette Damon is a government accountability reporter at ProPublica's Southwest office. Ann Jeanette, thank you.
Thank you.
And a note, Nevada Public Radio did reach out to the organizers of RadFest, which is the Coalition for Radical Life Extension, for comment on the story. Their executive director, James Stroll, wrote back and said, quote, "We're deeply concerned for the two attendees who became ill and wish them a full and speedy recovery. Safety is always our first priority at RadFest. We are cooperating fully with health and regulatory authorities to understand exactly what happened, and we'll share more when the facts are confirmed." Again, that's the executive director, James Stroll. This is State of Nevada.
This has been KNPR's State of Nevada. It's produced in Las Vegas by Nevada Public Radio. You can support thoughtful and engaging conversations just like these about issues that matter most to you by becoming a member at knpr.org. Also, for the latest news and updates, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at Nevada Public Radio. You can also get in touch with us by sending us an email to son@knpr.org. I am Paul Boger. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.